journalistic skills for those companies to promote them?
Yeah, absolutely. Most media, what happens at the moment is that it tends to be that the CEO says, do you know what, we should have web page, iPad app, whatever it might be, whatever the thing of the day is, you know. And then the marketing or PR communications director will then say either, okay, we can do that in-house, or okay, we'll need some money and find an agency. And then they'll do that for a while. And then they'll get to a point where they realize it's more cost-effective to have somebody in-house who knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in City's case, so the City journey was they were an unsuccessful football club. They could see that they needed to have something online. So they did a group deal with a company called Perform. The whole league did it. And you'll see most of the websites of the football clubs in the Premiership are absolutely identical because they're all done by Perform. And they're all banged out in the same way, and they're all uninspiring, and they're all uninteresting, and they don't, you know, and they all have advertising, and none of it really makes any money for them, and, you know. And now, 5-6 years later on, they're all annoyed that they're not doing enough with it. So then some clubs have broken away. So City and most of the big ones have now broken away, and they're now doing their own thing. But it's investment. It's an investment. And for a lot of them, they still don't believe it. Even now, I went to a Leaders in Sport conference about a month ago, and again, did a talk about the things you can do with Twitter, and how, you know, I mean, I was giving examples of the Arab Spring and saying, look, you know, there is a fundamental interesting impact in society here, and this is what it could do within sport and does do in some circumstances. You know, and even then, CEOs were coming up to me afterwards and going, yeah, but where's the business benefit, and is it really going to make a difference, and will it really catch on? God, I think, blimey, okay. But they're not a lot of them are unconvinced. The Premier League gets paid £1.2 billion from Sky, and then you come along saying, yeah, we could make a few thousand pounds, you know, we can make 10,000, 100,000, I mean, you know, the revenue generating. I often wonder whether it's that point where they start believing is just the point of crisis. They either see it early, like the BBC, and invest, or they wait right until the last minute, a little bit like local newspapers, and then they say, okay, now we need to go digital because that'll save us. You know, and then I suppose from your perspective, the best place to get the job is find the one in the one. If you look at the CEO speeches, if you're ever thinking about going into a company, look at what the CEO says. Or even better, if you can, view a speech on YouTube or something like that, because you can really tell whether they, like, officially get it or whether they actually get it. You know, and it will make a difference, because if the CEO is somebody who has an iPhone and understands what an app is, then all of his executives will, and then all of them will, and it will just proliferate through the company. Whereas if the CEO says, like the guy at Everton did the other day, he stood up and said, I'm basically an accountant, and I never really understand these marketing plans, and I think the most important thing for my business is to make sure that the experience in the stadium for the 35,000 people who come is really amazing, and that the pies are good, and the beer is good, and the, you know, facilities are nice. Not interested in the internet at all, which is strange. But there's a lot of that about. I don't know, have you, who's applied to anyway? I know you're too early in your course, to be applying for stuff. Your organisations, where you were before those journalists, what were they like in terms of internet stuff? Was it
a small company for local news?
Yeah.
And so they just upload, you know, because it's kind of a magazine. So once a week.
Yeah.
And so they just publish the newspaper afterwards.
Yeah. So that's it. Which is crazy. Yeah. And well, it's not. I suppose if you want an archive, the newspaper had been out how long when it was put live?
Yeah, after, yeah.
After
a few hours.
Right, okay. Okay, well, it's a start, I suppose. It's still quite a way behind. What about yours?
I worked in a radio, and they had their own a department of internet, so they are improving.
Okay.
It's a big company in Spain, so
right.
They are doing quite well. Sometimes it's the news it's before on the internet than in the radio, so
okay. It's
quite good. Yeah.
That's good. That is that. We had a lot of debate in Trinity Mirror about what was called the web first strategy. And it's really interesting. It polarizes journalists because there are some who just are opposed to it. They say if you go web first, you will completely cannibalize the the main product, where the most of the revenue is, and which is just crazy, because actually it needs to be much more cultured than that. It's a textured decision about what is the right story to go online first at the right time, or how much do you tell of the story. You know, the Gareth Barry example with the footballer, we could have published the whole story. It would have been fine. We still would have sold 4,000 newspapers at the end of the day. But even if we wanted a halfway house, we could have still published some of the letter, or we could have told more of the story. And as it was, all we did was say, there's going to be a letter. He's written us a letter. You need to buy the newspaper to see the full copy of what he says. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of... So, the stuff about breaking news on the web is, for me, is just natural. You know, of course you would do that first. Because then I think you're... there's a good example of a project I did a few years back with The Guardian on The Guardian's video news service. So I did the editorial strategy for that, and we had a team who worked to put that all in place. And The Guardian was really interesting, because you think of The Guardian as a very advanced digital organisation. Only The Guardian also had editors who were just saying, it's fine, but only once we've done the newspaper. And they started holding back their features and not telling people about them so that they could go in the newspaper and not get taken online first, which is kind of weird. The thing that worked for them was when we said, so you know where you've got the newspaper and then you have the G2 section, the features section, that's an insert into the paper, that your video is like that to the website. So it's not the breaking news on the video, it is the let's do much more with analysing, going deeper, much more special reports, that kind of stuff. And they could kind of get that. But even then, there was still some rejection of just breaking news on it. It's strange.
So what skills do you...
I don't have any skills.
Oh. Do you regard as the future skills that we need to focus on?
So do we need to know like XML and all those things like those? Java and everything?
Yeah, it's a good question. It depends on the organization you go into. When I started, the reason I accelerated quickly through the BBC was because I had technical understanding as well as journalistic understanding. So I would say you definitely need to... It's not that you have to be able to code in XML, but you need to understand it enough to be able to see the potential of what it can do. So that, which is, you know, it's about understanding a bit, playing with it. To be honest, I'd say the key skill, whenever I'm hiring people, I always look for appetite more than anything else, a desire to keep learning. Because I'm going to assume, if I'm hiring you, I'm going to assume you've got the journalistic skills and credentials and the background to be able to do that. I'm going to assume you've got some technical awareness, some commercial awareness, some marketing awareness. And I always look for somebody who's 10% librarian. They need to have that. You know that way, it's just with the web, just the desire to have everything filed in the right place, tagged in the right way, structured in the right, URL structure, that kind of thing. It really helps to have that bit of your brain that, you know, make sure your CDs are in alphabetical order, and or your books are in colour, or some kind of structure around it really helps. Not that I'm massively anal retentive or anything, of course, but that's part of it. But the main thing is the ability to be able to adapt. Okay. To be able to adapt and learn new things. Because although I'm talking about this now, you can bet your bottom dollar by the time you graduate, stuff will have moved on. You know what I mean? They kind of... And I'll be learning that as well. It's the only thing that has kept me in a good position is that I'm always interested about the next thing that's coming out. And so I'll learn about it in my spare time. I'll play with it on my phone. I'll do whatever. Is anybody... Who's on Twitter? Who's on Foursquare is what I meant to say. Foursquare? Anybody else?
Been for a while.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you...
I didn't really use it that much.
Okay.
I didn't use it before I came here, so I'm...